storms. Sometimes I search through the upcoming forecast, trying to seek out the most miserable day. It's like a cosmic joke. No matter what I choose, it turns out to be gorgeous, always sunny. Even in the dead of winter, when everything should look bleak and desolate, the sun will throb in the blue sky and the untouched snow will look like it's sparkling with diamonds. There are times when the tree branches ice over and shimmer in the light. It's resentfully that I'll admit how magical they look. Nothing in a cemetery should be beautiful. Even though Peter has been gone for a while, it's still strange that life carried on without him. Wasn't the world supposed to grind to a halt on its axis? Didn't people realize that a vital part of our family had been cut off and removed? Maybe we managed to pick up the shattered pieces and stumble on without him. But, in a way, we're just like Humpty Dumpty. None of us will ever be put back together again. How is it possible to not fall completely apart when someone is ripped from your lives? Peter's death rocked the very foundation of our family. There were times when I didn't think I could bear the loss. And my parents. They were steeped so deeply in grief that it was difficult to witness. There is nothing worse than watching your mother and father, the very same people who are pillars of strength, sob like babies. There were times when I couldn't remember what Mom's face looked like without a constant river of tears flowing down her pale cheeks. Dad retreated quietly into his work. For the first couple of months, it almost seemed like we would splinter apart. Mom was the first to pull herself together before forcing Dad into counseling, along with the four of us. As painful as therapy was, I'm not sure we would have survived the ocean of grief that surrounded us without it. It's all too easy to feel like you're alone and drowning in the darkness. Even though coming to the cemetery is a lot like picking at a healing scab and making the wound bleed all over again, there isn't a choice in the matter. I refuse to forget about Peter. And talking to him, telling him about all the family gossip, makes me feel like he's still here, listening to every word. I can almost imagine his responses, and they make me laugh. And that's exactly how I want to remember him, laughing and full of life.
Chapter 5. Brayden. Harsh breath escapes from my lungs in a rush as I push open the front door and walk inside the house I share off campus with four other guys. Almost immediately, voices assault my ears. There's nothing uncommon about that. It would be strange if they didn't. Five signatures might be on the rental agreement: Rowan, Carson, Asher, Easton, and yours truly. But at any given time, there's at least a dozen people hanging out. Sometimes guys from the team crash at our place if they need to get away from the dorms or their roommates. There's also usually a handful of diehard groupies looking for any lap to settle on. I'll fully admit that I took advantage of the pussy situation freshman year and delved straight in, sleeping with as many girls as possible. When you're an 18-year-old guy and all these females are hanging on you, spreading their legs without the least bit of encouragement, it's hard to say no. Even after I stopped drinking, the girls remained a constant. But last year, something began to change, and I curtailed all the fucking around. That doesn't mean I stopped dipping my wick completely, but it no longer held the same appeal as it once did. Now I'm more discriminating. Plus, a dozen or so guys on the team tested positive for chlamydia because they all banged the same groupies. As much as I enjoy screwing, it's not worth an STI, not even a curable one. "Hey, Hendricks, take over for me," Carson calls out, eyes laser-focused on the game he's playing. "I gotta take this call." I shake my head and point to the guy across from him, Give it to Asher. I'm sweaty from my run. Carson's gaze flickers to one of our roommates before he scowls. No way, he's shit at this game, and he's totally baked. Asher grins. He can barely crack open his eyes. The guy could easily be blindfolded with dental floss.
He's right, dude. I'm so baked.
I shake my head. Fine. As soon as I step into the living room, I notice Kira tucked around the corner on the couch. God damn it. I shoot Carson a scowl. The motherfucker could have warned me that she was here, lying in wait. I would have avoided coming home at all costs. That's when I remember that I didn't take my phone on my 5-mile run. This girl is the last person I want to deal with. The plan was to hit the showers and delve straight into homework. I'm trying to nudge my GPA up as much as I can before graduation. With 6 semesters under my belt, I've got my work cut out for me. I force myself into the living room. As soon as I'm close enough, Carson passes off the controller. I drop onto an empty couch cushion and focus on the screen. Maybe if I ignore her long enough, she'll give up and leave me alone. After I kicked her ass out of my bed the other night, I'm hoping she finally got the hint that I'm not interested in what she's offering up. I almost snort, knowing that it's an unlikely scenario. Even though my attention is fastened to the television, I notice her rise from the corner of my eye. A second later, she settles next to me. When her slender hand brushes against my thigh, I know I'm in trouble. I also realize that I need to do something drastic, otherwise this will never end. But what? What the hell am I supposed to do? This chick refuses to take no for an answer. Hi, Brayden. It's tempting to ignore her, although it's not in my nature to be a dick. But maybe that's what I need to do. I'm running out of options, and desperate times call for desperate measures. Hey, I say in a clipped tone. Hopefully, my whole I'm not interested in talking to you vibe is coming across loud and clear. When I don't keep the conversational ball rolling, she clears her throat and makes a second attempt.
I was wondering if we could talk.
I'm kind of in the middle of something, I mumble. Persistence is an attractive quality in the opposite sex, but not to this degree. Hasn't she ever heard that no means no?
How about after?
My lower jaw locks. I've got to take a shower and hit the books. I don't have time tonight. Her slender shoulders collapse as she rakes her teeth across her lower lip. A wounded look enters her eyes. Fuck. I just want to get out of here. Hell, I'd leave the damn house if there were someplace else to go. Maybe I should gather up my books and hit the library for a while. Best case scenario, she'll take off when I don't return. Worst case, I'll find her waiting naked in my bed again. Where the hell is Carson? Seriously, who the hell is he talking to on the phone? Who would call that guy? He needs to get his ass back in here so I can leave. The moment my blonde teammate steps into the living room, I jerk to my feet and pass off the controller. I make it 3 steps before slender fingers lock around my bicep, halting me in my tracks.
Please, Brayden.
Her tongue darts out to moisten her lips.
I just want to talk for a few minutes.
Air escapes from my lungs in a slow hiss as I plow my hand through my hair. I'm so damn tempted to shake her off. Instead, I keep all of my frustration bottled up inside. Kira, I say patiently, we've been through this before, and nothing has changed. Her blue eyes turn glassy as wetness fills them. The tears somehow manage to simultaneously piss me off and make me feel like a grade-A asshole. I have a sister who is 2 years younger than I am and a sophomore at Western. I'd beat the piss out of any jerk who caused her a moment of heartache. That being said, I hope she would have enough self-respect not to throw herself at a guy who has made it perfectly clear that he's not interested.
Why don't you want me? Aren't I pretty enough for you? Smart enough? What is it? What do I have to do so that you'll give me a chance?
Not only does desperation fill her eyes, it wafts around her like a stink.
Just tell me what I have to do. I've been in love with you since freshman year.
Fucking hell. How am I supposed to answer that?
You don't love me, I mutter as heat stings my cheeks. I glance at the guys sitting around in the living room. Carson and Easton are smirking. Crosby is doing his damnedest to hold back his laughter. You don't even know me. Not really. The guy she wants to be with is Braden Kendricks, wide receiver for the Western Wildcats, the football player who will most likely get drafted by the NFL this spring. All Kira sees is a handsome and popular facade. This girl doesn't know the first thing about me. We've talked a handful of times, and they've all been surface-level conversations. It's ridiculous that she would even think she has such strong feelings for me. I shift my weight, wishing that she wasn't so intent on forcing this uncomfortable discussion, especially in front of a room full of teammates. I'll never live this down.
If you gave me a chance,
she steps closer, her fingers squeezing my arm.
I could make you happy.
My heartbeat picks up speed. This girl is really starting to freak me out. I've jokingly thought about taking out a restraining order. I might actually have to go through with it.
Yo, Kendricks, maybe you should give her a chance,
Asher calls out.
She seems like a real sweetheart.
I shoot him a scowl. Of all the fucking times for him to wake up and take part in the conversation, it would have to be now. It feels like a 1,000-pound weight has settled on my chest, and the walls are closing in on me. I have no idea where the words come from, but they're shooting out of my mouth before I can stop them. I'm already dating someone, I blurt.
What?
She straightens to her full height, which is still a good 8 inches shorter than I am.
You're going out with another girl?
Before I can respond, with what, I have no idea, she fires off another question.
When did this happen, and why didn't I know about it?
Her eyes narrow to slits.
I haven't seen you with anyone lately.
It's like she can smell my deceit a mile away. Maybe this was a mistake. No, this is my only chance to break free. No matter what happens, I need to stick to the lie. Well, I improvise, we've been, you know, keeping it on the down low. We didn't want to go public until everything was for sure. I need this girl to swallow this down, hook, line, and sinker. What I don't need is for her to fire off more questions that I don't have answers to. So, slowly, I inch away from her. As you can see, there's no who. Her hand falls away from my arm before her fist settles on her cocked hip. Who? I echo, gaze darting away. Whose name can I pull out of my ass? This whole lying thing is more difficult than it appears. Sweat breaks out across my brow as my mind goes blank.
Yeah, her voice escalates. I want to know who this girl is.
Most of the guys in the other room turn and stare. They're all ears. You think one of these assholes could jump in and help save me from myself? Nope, not a damn one. Does it really matter? The point here is that I'm in a committed relationship and couldn't be happier.
Actually, it does. I want to know her name.
The way she tilts her head while eyeing me up reminds me of one of those sly raptors from the dinosaur movies. Kind of scary.
Is there a reason you don't want to tell me?
No, crazy pants, no reason at all. It's altogether possible that I've made a tactical error in judgment. I've got two choices here. I either abandon this sinking ship and admit that I made the whole thing up, or I rally and put on a convincing show so she'll leave me alone once and for all. Hey, it worked for Sydney. She pretended to be dating her ex-boyfriend for a damn month, and I was never the wiser. Sydney? Sydney Daniels, I blurt.
Sydney Daniels?
The corners of her lips sink into a frown as she silently racks her brain. That was probably the last name I should have thrown out. Yup. Just when I think she might drop the subject and leave me alone, she snaps,
Wait a minute. Isn't that the soccer player from our accounting class?
Yeah, I admit weakly. That's her. She shifts her stance and taps her pointer finger against her lips.
Looks like I'll be having a little chat with her for stealing my man.
Oh, fuck. Well, that's not good. I scrunch my face and shake my head. I don't think that's necessary, do you?
It's completely necessary, she growls.
The tears have dried up as anger dances across her features. Why the hell did I let Sydney's name slip out? Any other girl on this campus would have been thrilled to be my pretend girlfriend. Sydney, on the other hand, she'd rather gnaw off her own arm to get away from me. Make that both arms. This situation has disaster written all over it, and I have no one to blame but myself. Chapter 6. Brayden. For the umpteenth time, I glance around the crowded party, searching for Sydney's blonde head. Why isn't she responding to my texts or calls? I need to find her before Kira does. What irritates me most is that you know damn well that girl will be all over Sydney in order to verify the information. Like she can't just take my word for it. Like I'm some kind of liar who makes shit up. Well, maybe in this case. My first mistake was trying to pull off this lie. The second was dragging a chick who hates me into this mess. Instead of enjoying the party, my head is on a constant swivel. I have no idea if she'll go along with the tiny fib I've told. Although, if I were a betting man, I'd say probably not. If Kira discovers that I lied, it will be game over and I'll never shake her loose. That thought is enough to send icy tendrils of panic scampering down my spine. There's no way I can put up with 8 more months of her stalker-like tendencies. I'll have to move home just to get away from her. What a fucking mess. From the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of long blonde hair, and my head whips in that direction. I'm about to take off like a man on a mission when the girl turns toward me, and I realize that it's not Sydney. Damn. Everything inside me deflates. 20 more minutes drag by without a sighting. I've taken up sentinel near the entryway so I can keep an eye on the door. My gaze is coasting over the crowd for the millionth time when it skims over a dark head. Wait a minute. My attention resettles on the girl in question. What the hell is Elle doing here? All thoughts of Sydney disappear from my head as I shove my way toward my sister. When she was a senior in high school, she applied at several state universities, but I encouraged her to attend Western. How else could I keep an eye on her? Most of the guys around here understand that she's completely off limits, and if they don't, I'm more than happy to help them come to that realization. With my fists. I crane my neck, attempting to catch sight of who she's talking and laughing with. More than likely, it's one of the girls from her dorm floor. She's made a few good friends, and they usually travel in a pack, which is smart. A lone female makes for an easy target at one of these parties. Her head is bent close to whoever she's speaking with. I push a few people out of my way, until I'm able to catch sight of a broad shoulder and muscular arm. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll be breaking up this little love fest before this asshole can get any ideas in his head. Just as I shove another person out of my way, the dude in question comes into view, and relief instantly floods through me as my footsteps slow. Carson. False alarm. If there's anyone I trust with my sister, it's him. The guy is like family. He hung out at my house while we were growing up more than he did at his own. Carson is an only child, and his parents work a shit ton of hours. I always got the feeling that he was lonely. Mom would joke that he was her unofficial third child. Elle is more like a sister to him than anything else. Hey, I greet, pulling up alongside them and interrupting their conversation. They both startle at my unexpected appearance. Almost nonchalantly, Carson takes a step away from her before shoving his hands into the pockets of his shorts. Hi, what's up, man? Not much, I mutter, glancing around. Now that I realize there's nothing to be concerned about, thoughts of Sydney rush back in to fill my head. The only positive in this situation is that I haven't caught sight of Kira. I thought for sure she would be here by now, waiting to pounce. I'm not naive enough to think that my announcement has finally done the trick. There's no way she's going to roll over and give up at this point. She's too invested. You haven't seen Sydney around, have you? Carson's brows slide together. He knows exactly why it's imperative that I nail down her location.
Nope. Still haven't been able to get a hold of her, huh?
I shake my head. She's avoiding my calls.
Strange that she would do that,
Carson says with a smirk.
She really seems to enjoy your company.
Who's Sydney?
My sister cuts in, gaze bouncing between us. My attention flickers to her. There's no way in hell I'm telling Elle about this situation. She'd probably laugh herself silly, and then she'd turn around and tell our mother. Like I need that. No thanks. Instead of answering, I pull out my phone and text the blonde for what feels like the dozenth time in the past 2 hours. Do you think she could bother with a response? Of course not. She'd much rather ignore my ass and make me sweat. A big smile breaks out across Elle's face.
Well, well, well.
She turns her attention to Carson as laughter bubbles up in her throat.
Looks like my brother has a crush.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Before Carson can open his trap, because the last thing I need at the moment is him egging her on, I grumble, I do not have a crush. Mirth dances in my friend's eyes. I can almost see the temptation to add kerosene to this particular fire.
Does Mom know about this?
Elle asks. I am reminded once again why I prefer not to party with my sister. I don't need her watching every move I make and reporting back to our parent with her findings. When she arches a brow, I roll my eyes. She's my partner for a project. It's nothing more than that. Elle tilts her head. The suspicious look in her eyes says that she's not buying what I'm attempting to sell.
And you need to talk to her about a class project? On a Saturday night? While celebrating your win from this afternoon?
Fair enough. That sounds lame even to my own ears. Obviously, I should have come up with a more plausible explanation. This one isn't going to cut it. How has this become my life? No, I'm serious. Taking out a restraining order would have been a hell of a lot easier than all this subterfuge. Clearly, I'm not good at it. With a glare, I turn the conversation around on her. What are you doing here? I thought we agreed you would stay away from the football parties. Not to mention the football players. Make it guys in general and we'll call it a day. Something flickers in her dark eyes before being snuffed out as she lifts a slender shoulder.
Do you remember my friend Madison?
Nope, not at all. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup that consisted of two girls. When I shake my head, she gives an impatient huff.
Anyway, her boyfriend is on the football team. I think his nickname is Sausage?
Right. The dude's actual name is Kevin Anders. One of the first practices of his freshman season, he inhaled so many damn sausages for breakfast that he ended up barfing them up all over the turf. Coach Richards just shook his head and ordered him to clean up the mess. It doesn't matter how many years or decades pass, he will never live down that poor decision, which is exactly how he earned his nickname. If the guy is lucky, Coach will send him onto the field during the last quarter for a snap or two, if we're up by enough points. From what I've gathered, he's not working with a lot of brain cells, and he's definitely not the type of guy I want hanging around my sister. Then again, I can't think of any dudes I'd want her spending time with. Luckily, that hasn't been a problem. If she's messing around, it's not in front of my face. And I've never caught wind of any gossip making the rounds on campus either. Did you come with friends? I glance around, wondering how she ended up with Carson. She waves a hand toward the kitchen.
They went to get something to drink. They'll be back soon.
Just what I need to deal with. A bunch of underage girls getting drunk off wine spritzers or some equally sugary drink. Cleaning up their puke will be the perfect cap to this disastrous evening. I narrow my eyes. Are they bringing a beverage back for you? Elle meets my stare head on. She isn't easily intimidated, not even by me.
Is that a roundabout way of asking if I plan to drink tonight?
I give her a tight-lipped smile. Yep. That's exactly what I want to know, Squirt. When a flash of grief fills her eyes, guilt swiftly slices through me.
She draws herself up to her full height before saying stiffly,
"You know I don't drink."
No, she doesn't. Not after what happened to our father. Elle doesn't even like it when Mom has a bottle of wine in the house. Fuck. This situation with Kira is making me lose my damn mind. I'm tempted to drag a hand across my face. Sorry, I mumble, feeling like an asshole. An awkward silence falls over the three of us. I'm about to apologize for a second time, when a flash of wheat-colored hair catches my attention. Relief instantly floods through me. All right, gotta go. I take two steps before swinging back around. My gaze locks on Carson as I stab a finger in my sibling's direction. Keep an eye on her.
I don't need a babysitter, she yells.
Since I'm not about to get drawn into an argument, I don't bother with a response. Elle might not think she needs someone to look out for her, but she does. My sister is too damn pretty for her own good. When she showed up on campus freshman year, I had to knock more than a few skulls together before word caught on not to mess with her. I'm happy to report that the guys now steer clear. She's no longer on their radar, and that's just the way I like it. Whatever choice words Elle continues to spew get lost in the raucous noise of the party as I shove my way through the thick crowd in order to reach Sydney. Who knows? Maybe she'll surprise me and help me out of this sticky situation. Then again, maybe pigs will fly out of my ass. Statistically speaking, the chances of swine taking flight are astronomically higher.
Chapter 7. Sydney. It's Saturday night, and I'm more than ready to cut loose. I need a drink to help shake off the heaviness of visiting my brother's grave. It's like this every time. It'll take a couple of days to tamp down all of the sadness and grief attempting to break loose beneath the surface. There would probably be less emotional upheaval if I didn't visit quite so often. But how can I do that? The guilt alone would eat me alive. And part of me likes sitting against the smooth surface of his headstone. Sharing my life makes me feel closer to him. For a few minutes, I can pretend that he's not really gone. I keep waiting for the pain of his loss to fade, but it's been 4 years, and that has yet to occur. I'm beginning to doubt it ever will. I think the grief is something I'll carry around with me forever. So yeah, I need a drink, pronto. Maybe a couple of them to take the edge off and help me forget. Arm in arm, Demi and I stroll up the sidewalk to the football house. As much as I don't want to be here, my bestie told Rowan that we would make an appearance at some point in the evening. She also assured me that we wouldn't have to stay long. I plan on holding her to that. My phone vibrates in my back pocket for the umpteenth time today. Irritation swiftly bubbles up inside me as I grit my teeth, not bothering to pull out the cell and glance at the screen. There's no need to. I already know who it is. Braden Kendricks has been blowing up my phone for the last 2 days. What the hell is that guy's problem? Does he think we're suddenly friends and he can talk to me whenever he likes? No, thanks. Since he refuses to comprehend what my silence implies, it looks like we'll need to have a discussion as to what it means when someone ignores your advances. Although that won't be happening tonight. I have zero interest in dealing with him at the moment. Not when I'm already feeling emotionally raw. He tried to catch me at class the other day, but I slipped out of the room a few minutes early so I could meet up with my advisor to discuss my credit situation. All she did was reconfirm that if I scrap the accounting degree and get out of business altogether, it'll end up tacking on an additional year of classes. There is no way I want to stick around Western for that long. For all intents and purposes, I'm stuck. I keep reassuring myself that it won't be as bad as I think. I'm actually a whiz at crunching numbers. The question is, how much will I enjoy doing it 40 hours a week? It's yet another problem to wash away with a massive glass of alcohol. Just like when it comes to dulling my grief, it'll be a temporary measure. A flimsy band-aid until I can work through everything in my head. When my phone buzzes 30 seconds later, Demi asks, "Aren't you going to answer that?" Not a chance in hell. Nope. I have zero intentions of responding to Brayden's texts or calls. This is exactly why I was reluctant to give him my digits in the first place. If he thinks he can wear me down and will hook up, he couldn't be more wrong. What if it's important? It's not. With a curious expression marring her brow, she shrugs and drops the subject. It's oh so tempting to block his ass. The thought brings a smile to my face. That would serve him right for making such a nuisance of himself. Maybe some girls, all right, most girls, clamor for his attention. But I'm not one of them. Not after what happened freshman year. As soon as that thought pops into my head, I shove it away. It's just another thing I refuse to dwell on. After climbing 5 steps onto a rickety front porch, we wait to be admitted inside. The freshman football player who is supposed to be manning the door is making out hot and heavy with a girl. His tongue is shoved so far down her throat that I'm pretty sure he's touching her tonsils. I clear my throat, hoping they'll splinter apart, but that doesn't occur. If anything, the sucking action becomes more voracious. I'm almost impressed with his hoovering skills, but also slightly repulsed. It's doubtful there's a drop of spit in that girl's mouth. Ew. Demi gives me a little side eye. Maybe we should just walk in? Probably. We slip inside while their mouths are still fastened. I think Rowan needs to find someone a little more dedicated to his job. Demi snorts. I'll be sure to pass that along. We don't get more than 4 steps inside the packed first floor when someone wraps their arms around Demi. That someone, in case you're wondering, is Rowan. A smile springs to her lips as he moves in for a kiss. And that would be my cue to leave. You would never know it from Demi's behavior that there was a time in the not-so-distant past when she couldn't stand to be in the same room with Rowan. It's almost amazing how much has changed in such a short span of time. "I'm going to grab a much-needed drink," I shout, attempting to be heard over the pulsing beat of music. "You want anything?" It's not a surprise when Demi shakes her head. She's never been much of a drinker. With a shrug, I take off through the mass of students packed in here like sardines. Is it too much to hope that we only have to stay for 30 minutes before taking off? I'm sure there are a ton of other parties happening around campus. I'd rather be anywhere but here. Plus, I'm actively trying to avoid Brayden, and that's difficult to do at his own house. At this point, it's become a game. Let's see how long it takes for him to track me down. Fingers crossed he'll grow bored and move on to easier prey. I pass by the congested living room on my way to the kitchen. I wave and say hello to a couple of people I recognize. A handful of my teammates have shown up to help celebrate the victory on the turf this afternoon. They don't care which Wildcat team won. They're just happy to toss back a few drinks and get their party on. And then there are 2 girls I recognize from my classes. I've been here enough times to know that a makeshift bar will be set up at the back of the house, stocked with cheap liquor. I'm looking forward to an icy cold drink. Normally when I'm out, I'll have a beer or two, but tonight calls for something more potent. We're talking shots. After 5 minutes of fighting my way through the unwashed masses, I've almost reached my destination. Just as the brightly shining beacon that is the keg comes into sight, a girl with long, tawny-colored hair steps in front of me, effectively blocking my way. Since there are so many people crammed in the space, I don't think much of it. As I try to sidestep her, she quickly shadows the motion so I can't move past. When I slide in the opposite direction, she follows suit. That's when I realize that this chick is deliberately messing with me. What the hell? I give her a quick once-over. Other than looking vaguely familiar, I have no idea who she is. What I do know is that she'd better move her carcass before I lose my shit. I'm not in the mood to mess around. Not tonight. Excuse me, I raise my voice over the pumping music. I'm trying to get through. Is your name Sydney? Yeah. With a frown, I search her face more carefully. That's when recognition hits. This girl is in one of my classes. Coincidentally, it's the same one I have with Brayden, accounting. I've never spoken to her before, but I've noticed the way she hangs all over him. It would be hard not to. She'd probably crawl into his lap and burrow there if he allowed her to do it. Her behavior has always struck me as needy and clingy. Although Brayden is such an attention whore, I'm sure he gets off on it. Ew, I just vomited in my mouth. The last thing I want to think about is what Brayden gets off on. I shift my stance, willing away the horrific image. Before I can ask any further questions, she says, I was wondering if we could talk for a few minutes. Talk? About what? I don't even know this girl. You want to speak with me? With a frown, I press a hand to my chest as the party continues to rage on around us. Why? Her tongue darts out to moisten her lips as she sidles closer. I wanted to discuss the Brayden situation with you. The Brayden situation? What is she talking about? More strangely than that, how am I involved in it? Is this chick drunk? Maybe high? I tilt my head and scrutinize her pupils. I'm not a medical professional, but they certainly don't look dilated, and she doesn't smell like a brewery. I do a careful sniff test. There's no skunky scent permeating from her either. Well, I'm stumped. Just to be clear, there is no, I use my fingers to make air quotes, Brayden situation. Honestly, I'm not even sure why you'd want to discuss the guy with me. A hopeful glint enters her eyes as she steps even closer, invading more of my space. Wait a minute, aren't you dating Brayden Kendricks? A bark of laughter explodes from my lips as I open my mouth to tell her that I am most certainly not dating the dark-haired football player, that I would never date him. Firm lips collide with mine, cutting off any further protest.
Chapter 8. Brayden. Every muscle in Sydney's body goes rigid as my mouth crashes onto hers. One arm snakes around her waist as I haul her close. Her eyes widen before narrowing when she realizes who has a firm hold on her. That would be when her struggles begin in earnest. I almost shake my head at my own stupidity. This girl is going to fight me tooth and nail. Undeterred by her response, I sweep my tongue across the seam of her lips. When she presses them together, I pull away enough to whisper, "Open for me." "Are you insane?" she snarls in response. Bingo. The moment she snaps at me, I take the opportunity to delve inside. Am I taking my own life into my hands? You bet your damn ass I am. But it's a risk I'm willing to take. My tongue sweeps inside to tangle with her own. This is where I need to be cautious. A quick retreat might become necessary. I wouldn't put it past Sydney to bite me. Hard. I give Kira a little side eye, hoping this affectionate display will be enough to satisfy her curiosity, and that it won't become necessary to take this charade any further. The entire issue can be laid to rest, and we can all move on with our lives. What, It could happen. Kira continues to watch us like a hawk as I lock lips with Sydney. Her arms are folded across her ample chest, and her eyes are narrowed in speculation. She doesn't look the least bit convinced, which is a problem because I'm not sure how much longer I can keep the blonde subdued. Any moment she's going to break loose, and then I'll probably be sporting a black eye as a party favor. Just a little reminder not to tangle with this chick ever again. Sydney's steely palms slap against my chest before she gives me a hard shove, attempting to fight her way free of my embrace. Left without further recourse, I break contact. Her wide gaze searches mine in confusion. "I need you to go with this," I mutter under my breath. Before I can explain the situation, a perturbed voice interrupts.
"So, you two really are a thing?"
Kira. Damn. I was kind of hoping she would have taken off by now. I clear my throat as my gaze stays fastened onto the feisty female in my arms. "Yep, it's official. We're together." Sydney's eyes widen.
"What?
Are you being serious, dude?"
Asher's deep voice booms over the crowd and cuts her off.
"Like, you're legit seeing someone? When did you decide to be monotonous?"
"That guy always seems to appear exactly when I don't need him to." "I think you meant to say monogamous," I mutter.
"Same damn thing," he says with a snort.
I glance reluctantly at him. Given the fact that we're a few hours into this party, he looks surprisingly clear-eyed. He has a chick tucked beneath each brawny arm. Their hands are pressed against his chest as they stare up at me owlishly, as if even they can't believe I've decided to get serious about someone. For fuck's sake, is it really that difficult to believe I might be interested in settling down? Sydney tries again.
"I think..."
I crush her stiff body against mine before dropping a kiss against the top of her head.
"That it's time for everyone to know the truth? I couldn't agree more, babe."
With a huffed out breath, she tilts her head to meet my gaze before narrowing her eyes. Asher shakes his head as if he's still having a hard time wrapping his brain around this new development.
"I never thought I'd see the day. First Michaels, and now you. One by one, we're all falling to the wayside. It's like an epidemic. When the hell did this happen? Why all the secrecy?"
With each added question, more people take interest and gather around like we're a circus sideshow act. For fuck's sake, my dating life isn't that interesting. Go back to your lives, people. There's nothing to see here. Someone needs to give Asher a beer. He's entirely too sober if he's bombarding me with this many questions. It's a real shocker that he can remain so focused.
"That's exactly what I was wondering," Kira pipes up. "Why keep it a secret?"
I glare at the tawny-haired girl, hoping she'll shut her pie hole. I've had about as much as I can take from her. She's the reason I'm in this mess to begin with. Now she's just adding to it for shits and giggles.
"Looks like congratulations are in order, dude. If you're looking to be tied down, then I'm happy for you. I guess that means more chicks for me. See? Sometimes you gotta look at the bright side of things."
There's a pause.
"Although, I don't think I'd mind being strapped down and restrained by that one." He winks at Sydney. "Hey, beautiful."
A growl rumbles up from my chest. I would be more than happy to knock those thoughts from Asher's head. I don't give a damn if he's joking around or not. Just as I'm about to break up the growing crowd, Elle pushes her way through the throng. Her wide gaze bounces from me to Sydney and then back again.
"I knew it," she crows. "I knew something was going on with you and this girl, Project My Butt."
I glance at Carson, who has sidled up behind her. His shoulders shake with silent laughter. He's the one who put this cockamamie idea in my head. If there's anyone to blame for this mess, it's him.
"We need to talk," Sydney hisses. "In private."
"How about I get you a drink and we talk after?" More like a few drinks to dull the anger burning brightly in her eyes. Although I'm not even sure alcohol will douse those flames.
"Now, Brayden."
Well, damn.
Chapter 9. Sydney. Holy shit. Did that actually happen? My fingers brush across my lips where the faint taste of him continues to linger. I'll admit, albeit privately, that I have secretly wondered what it would be like to kiss Brayden. That being said, I never imagined I'd actually find out. This feels more like a dream, or maybe a nightmare. All I know is that I need to get to the bottom of what's going on before it can spiral any further out of control, like it hasn't already. I almost groan. The moment his fingers wrap around mine, a little sizzle of electricity dances down my spine. Before I can blast him into next week, he's dragging me through clumps of people toward the staircase. A few brave, or drunk ones, clap him on the back and congratulate him. Most aren't interested in being run over by 200 pounds of muscled man barreling through. I have to hasten my steps to keep pace with him as we head to the second floor. My head spins. I can't believe this is happening. I throw a furtive glance over my shoulder at the gathered crowd. A good number of them continue to watch us with ardent interest. A few hold up their phones to snap photos. Do you know what these people are probably thinking? That we're going upstairs to have sex. Ugh. The sooner the situation is cleared up, the better. There's no way I can deal with everyone on campus thinking we're a couple. Brayden moves steadily up the staircase until we hit the second floor landing and turn to the right before walking down the hallway. We pass by two doors before he reaches for a handle and pushes it open. When I stutter to a halt over the threshold, he huffs out of breath and yanks me into the room. Once sealed inside, the music and noise from downstairs fades. It's a relief when he releases my fingers and my hand can drift back to my side. I stare at him and wait for a rational explanation as to why he would tell people we were together. Seconds creep by. When he remains silent, I throw my arms wide and explode. Oh my God, what the hell was that about? He winces before plowing a hand through his hair. Look, I'm sorry. It got a little out of control. A little out of control? I echo with disbelief. Is this guy for real? That scene was totally out of control. You do realize, he says mildly, that none of this would have happened if you had returned my calls. My eyes widen until they feel like they might fall right out of my head. I jab a finger at him. Are you actually trying to blame me for your lies? The nerve of this guy. He sucks in a deep breath before gradually releasing it. As he does, his broad shoulders collapse. No, I'm not. For what it's worth, I'm sorry that I dragged you into this mess. I didn't expect everything to go down like that. Like what? What didn't you expect? Instead of answering the question, he asks one of his own. You know the girl you were talking to downstairs? The one from our accounting class? I jerk my head in a nod. Her name is Kira, and she's been after me for a while. I've told her 1,000 times that I have zero interest in doing anything with her, but she refuses to take no for an answer. The chick is relentless. Uh-huh. I still don't understand how this affects me. When I remain silent, he blurts, "She won't leave me alone. It's turned out to be a real problem." Seriously? One of your fangirls has become a little overzealous, and suddenly this is an issue? I found her in my bed the other night. When I fail to react, he snaps, "Naked." Aw, that sounds terrible. Girls are literally falling onto their backs and spreading their legs wide for you. I cock my head to the side. However do you deal with it? His lips flatten into a tight line as he narrows his eyes. That's the issue, Sydney. I don't want to deal with strange girls sneaking into my room and lying in wait. Wouldn't you be unsettled if you found a naked guy in your bed? I don't know, I say with a shrug. I guess it would depend on who the guy was. If it's possible, his lips smash together even more. When he continues to glare, I shift my stance, uncomfortable under his relentless scrutiny. Fine, I would be upset, I grumble reluctantly. There, are you happy now? Although I'm still confused as to how I got dragged into this mess. I'd hoped after I kicked her out of my room that she would finally get it through her head that nothing was ever going to happen. But she was back at my place the other night, confessing her love for me and wanting to know why I won't give her a chance. All right, so maybe I can understand his concern. Those are definitely stalker vibes I'm beginning to feel. So, I say carefully, piecing everything together. You told her you were dating someone. Me. Brayden told this girl he was dating me. As bad as I'm starting to feel for him, because clearly that girl is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, there is no way I'm getting sucked into a situation that has nothing to do with me. Forget it. When he opens his mouth to argue, I shake my head. I just got out of a relationship. I'm not interested in having people think that I'm delving headfirst into another. And even if I was, I add, wanting to make sure we're both on the same page, it wouldn't be with someone like you. Excuse me? His brows shoot up. Did you just say someone like me? Do I really need to explain this to him? By the pinched expression on his face, apparently so. Come on, Brayden. You're not the kind of guy I would ever go for. You're a man whore. I hold up my hands and quickly add, that's not a judgment on my part. It's just the unvarnished truth. You're free to sleep with as many girls as you want. Have sex with the entire university for all I care. But do us both a favor and don't pretend you're something that you're not, all right? You don't do serious.
I'm not a man whore,
he says in halting tones, as if I've truly offended him, which is rich. Laughter bubbles up from my lips. Brayden folds his arms across his chest and glares. All the girls I've slept with knew the score up front, and they were cool with it. Don't act like I'm out there taking advantage of these chicks. He's missing the point entirely. I never said you were taking advantage of anyone. I simply pointed out that you like to sleep around and share the love. Maybe it shouldn't be so surprising when some psycho chick gets obsessed. For your information, he grits out, I never slept with Kira. Maybe it would help if you did, I snicker. She'd probably lose interest by the third thrust.
Hardy har har. You're hilarious, you know that.
Now that I've made my position perfectly clear, I inch toward the bedroom door. You seem to have gotten yourself into a real quandary, and I don't want any part of it. So I'm just gonna... As I reach for the handle, he blurts,
Wait.
I glance over my shoulder, impatient to get the hell out of here. What?
Please.
He swallows, desperation flashing across his face.
I really need your help. It would only be for a couple of weeks, that's it.
It's official. Brayden has gone off the deep end. We're not even friends. Why would I entertain the idea of helping him out for even a minute? If anything, he's dragged me into a mess I want no part of. And if he won't clear up the situation, I will. And then I'll do what I should have done from the very beginning and block his damn ass on my phone. From here on out, we can work solo on our project. It's not like there's a ton left to do. Sorry, this sounds more like a you problem than a me problem. But don't worry, you're a resourceful guy. I have total faith that you'll figure something out. For a second time, I reach for the handle. Before I can make a clean getaway,
Brayden springs forward and wraps his fingers around my shoulders before swinging me around. My eyes widen, and I stifle a yelp of surprise at the way he's manhandling me.
I've already told Kira that we're dating. If you go downstairs and say differently, she'll never leave me alone.
His grip tightens.
Would you really do that to me?
Yes. It's not even a question. His jaw locks, but he still doesn't set me free.
I can help you.
Other than staying out of my way, there's nothing I need Brayden's assistance with. Just as I'm about to demand that he remove his hands or risk losing digits, he asks,
Were you able to find a model for your art project?
My brows shoot up into my hairline. How the hell did he... Oh, right. Lunch. He overheard me on the phone. More like he was listening intently. Not yet, but I've got plenty of feelers out, I say airily, as if I'm not concerned in the slightest. I'm just waiting for the responses to roll in. The truth of the matter is that I'm waiting on one more call. The fact that Leo hasn't bothered to get back to me isn't a good sign. For obvious reasons, I won't be sharing that information with Brayden. He drags me closer.
A model for you.
You? I scoff. My belly hollows out at the thought of seeing him naked. Model? I shake my head, unwilling to entertain the idea.
Sure, why not?
I twist out of his arms and break his hold before blowing out a long breath. Have you forgotten that I need someone who's willing to sit for me in the nude? I allow that bit of information to sink in before adding, The best pieces from the portfolio will be displayed at the art gallery on campus at the end of the year. Indecision flickers over his expression before he straightens to his full height.
Is that supposed to be a deterrent? FYI, there's no shame in my game.
I'm sure there's not, but that doesn't necessarily mean he wants hundreds of people to see naked sketches of him. That's one of the reasons the fine art students use professional models who don't attend Western University, and certainly aren't high-profile football players looking to turn pro. Unconsciously, my gaze drifts over the length of him, starting with his handsome face. Brayden has high, chiseled cheekbones and thick eyelashes. His mouth is full and his chin strong. As if that wasn't the most arresting part of him, there's his muscular body. Broad shoulders, a wide chest and tapered waist. My hunch is that there's not an ounce of fat on him. Fine. Speaking strictly from an artistic perspective, the guy would be an absolute pleasure to draw. No doubt about it. But that would mean spending more time alone with him. When he tugs me close enough to feel the heat of his body, I snap out of the dangerous thoughts attempting to take root inside my brain.
You're contemplating it, he says,
eyes sharpening on me. No, I lie. I'm not. With a tilt of his head, he squints as if he's able to pick through my innermost thoughts. It's a disconcerting sensation.
Yeah, you are. Just remember that this situation can be beneficial for both of us.
I'm startled to realize that he's right. I'm actually giving serious consideration to his proposal. Bottom line, I need a model. My project is due in less than a month. Not only am I running out of time, I'm running out of options. Brayden needs someone to be his girlfriend. His fake girlfriend. The solution neatly solves both of our issues.
What's the problem? He asks. Not sure I'll measure up in that department. Need a little proof that you'll have more than enough to draw? Maybe a preview will tip the scales in my favor.
His fingers settle on his waistband. I throw up a hand and shake my head, No, that's not necessary. There's no way I can tell Brayden that I don't want to spend time with him because deep down, I'm attracted to him. I don't even want this guy to know that I like him as a human being, much less find him good-looking. It would only feed his already massive ego, and that's the last thing I want to do. There are already enough females on campus fangirling over him. It'll be over my dead body that I'll be thrown in with that lot. What I need to do is decline his offer. If I agree to this, it won't end well. I'll end up strangling him or...
What's it going to be?
He asks, voice turning gravelly. Tell him no.